From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. As of this week, thanks to an anonymous blogger and ABC News, we know all about the creepy electronic messages Congressman Mark Foley of Florida sent to his pages. We also learned that two Florida papers, the Miami Herald and the St. Petersburg Times, may have been sitting on the story for almost a year. Here's how it went for the St. Petersburg Times.
In November, the paper obtained a couple of Foley email exchanges that had been forwarded by a page to a friend in another congressional office. The Times knew that the page had given Foley his email address voluntarily and had told his friend in the other office that he'd had no suspicions about Foley. But when Foley asked for a picture, then the page acknowledged that he was uncomfortable. The Times said it saw nothing explicitly sexual and that it was all a little ambiguous.
So, with no one on the record, they sat on it. It might seem that the paper couldn't win for losing. If their story turned out to be more smoke than fire, it would have been slammed for overkill. St. Petersburg Times executive editor Neil Brown.
The fallout didn't particularly figure into our thinking. The fallout of printing a thin story. We just don't like to print thin stories. We thought it didn't meet our standard back in November based on what we had.
In a where there's smoke, there must be fire situation. One argument for running story number one is that it'll generate more information, which is exactly what happened in this case. ABC posted something very brief and relatively innocuous on its website. And, you know, and next thing you know, well, you know the next thing. It all blew up. So how much do you torment yourself about what might have been had you run, you know, even a thin story about a congressman's unusual behavior?
I wouldn't say we're tormented by it, but you've just described the balancing act we face on something like this. I certainly get the point and understand that good beat reporting sometimes requires a shorter, maybe even less complete story to see if you can shake the bushes. The problem you have is that the innuendo was potentially so damaging and explosive that you've got to weigh your standards on whether you can imply something in hopes that it'll shake something that's even more advanced as far as the story goes.
The other possibility is that the St. Pete Times was too responsible by half. You know, that you somehow allowed yourself to forget that a grown-up asking a teenager for his photo is just unlikely to have an innocent explanation.
I think that's a fair criticism that we're trying to work through. It certainly seems, based on what we know now, that maybe that analysis was too cautious, but we have this benefit of hindsight.
As events have unfolded, do you think you made the right decision?
I don't know. I will say we deliberated quite long, and we thought this always was a close call. I know this. We didn't like being scooped. We absolutely wished we'd broken a story sooner. Could we have broken a story sooner based on what we had? I'd like to think that our standards mean something. And just because I know some outcome I didn't know before, I wouldn't suddenly say, we should have done it. We were really sincere and earnest in trying to be responsible. Was it too cautious? I don't know. I think the question we're asking ourselves more directly isn't, was that story worthy of publication? It's, should we have had a fuller discussion about some next steps? So if not on that day when we didn't run the story back in November, but sometime between then and when it exploded in the last several days, we could have gotten something into the paper. That's what I really regret, that we didn't find a way to do that.
Okay, Neil, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Neil Brown is executive editor of the St. Petersburg Times. Brian Ross is chief investigative correspondent for ABC News. He had a tip about Foley's emails, too. After a few weeks, he called a page and never heard back. So he went to Foley's office. They said that the emails were authentic, but that Foley was just a friendly guy. That seems strange enough to Ross that he did a brief item on the Blotter, ABC News' website. Within hours, they received tips from congressional pages offering more, even creepier, Foley emails. ABC called Foley's office again, read aloud from one of the new emails, and an hour later, the network got a call saying that Foley was resigning. So I asked Brian Ross, did he think the Florida papers blew it?
Well, stories beget stories. They do. You know, small burglaries can be big scandals in the end, and questionable emails can also, I think, as we see here, lead to big scandals. Those papers, I respect the people who work at both of the Florida newspapers, made different news judgments. And probably because Foley is a Florida congressman, they felt they couldn't just do a small story on a Florida congressman. They have to do a full out. From our point of view, he was one of 435 congressmen across the country, and we felt we could do a small item in which there was concern about the emails, a denial from the congressman, and that's what we did.
Now, you approached Foley's office, and you said, look, we have these emails. Let me have an explanation. And you had a very interesting conversation with one of his staffers. Tell me about that, please.
I did. The call came back. He's going to resign, and we want to make a deal with you. So I got on the phone, and the person who was offering the deal was Foley's former chief of staff, who at the time was working for another Republican congressman. His name is Kirk Fordham. And he said, I'll give you the exclusive on the resignation. It can be all yours alone. All you have to do is just not publish any of those really vile instant messages that the congressman wrote. It'd be very bad for his family and so on and so forth. And I said, we're not going to anyway, out of good taste, publish the worst of it, and we haven't. But I'm not going to make a deal where I have my hands tied in any way editorially by some commitment.
Clearly, the young people who are at the heart of this story were not thrilled that it was coming out. Few went on the record, and most, I gather, consider this a chapter that they'd more or less like to forget. But since the story has broken, have you heard from any of these kids or their parents to say, well, upon further consideration, thank you for letting this get out. It's made a difference in our lives.
I've heard both, to be honest with you. We've received lots of messages, thanks from hundreds of pages. My gosh, somebody finally stood up to them. We thank you. And then some of the pages who are more specifically involved are upset, as you say. It's the chapter of their lives they are not proud of, but I think they have to understand that they were victims of a very manipulative person. And you look at those messages back and forth, and that's what it was. He was manipulating these kids who looked up to him, and that's a real scandal, I think, is when there's an abuse of power, and that's what I see in this case.
Okay, Brian, always nice to talk to you.
Great, Bob, thanks.
Brian Ross is chief investigative correspondent for ABC News.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.